Larry Razavi and his out-of-town checks right there with our theme, Musicians Come and Play, means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. We're coming up on 10 minutes before the hour of 12 noon, and we're now at 31 degrees. We did just warm up a degree, so 31, our current temperature here in Albany. You're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of Central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2 on the radio dial, and also 107.7 on your FM dial. It is our 179th edition of our Musicians Come and Play program. We have our guest on the line, and we're going to bring him in right now. We're going to say good morning to Mr. Carl Hartwig. Carl, how are you doing?
Well, not too bad at all. Sitting down in sunny Arizona right now. We just pulled in last night and had to fight a blizzard a couple times to get here, but we made it through. And
perfect.
So we're sitting down waiting to play a couple jobs this week and then come right back up by you guys.
Oh, well, wonderful. So what's the weather like down in Arizona, sunny Arizona today?
Today right here in Mesa, we're supposed to have about 55 and sunny, and then tomorrow in the 60s, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, just about 70.
Well, how does that fit for you?
Well, it's not too bad. A little bit better than that ice that I hear you're getting up there.
I was just outside, and it's not so bad right now. The wind is kicking up pretty good now, 10 to 15 miles an hour. And, if you put your sail out, you know, stand on one end of the sidewalk, it'd take you down to the other end because it's still slippery there. But looks like
you have all kinds of fun going on up there. Huh?
Oh, you could, yeah. Looks like the freeway, they sanded and salted and compounded that pretty good this morning, so traffic is sailing by pretty much at a normal clip here, so not so bad.
Well, that's good.
You bet. Well, we want to wish you a merry, merry Christmas down there, Carl. And what's all happening today?
Well, today, as soon as we're done with the show here, we're supposed to go over to a friend of ours. He's living in a motor home down here. He winters down here and summers up in Wisconsin. So he's one of those kind of guys, back and forth all the time. So we're going over to his place, I think, for pizza.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, we're not sure what we're going to do. Probably sit around and talk smart and have a few cocktails, and who knows where it's going to lead.
And pick up the concertina in between and play a tune or two, huh?
I wouldn't doubt it a bit.
All righty. Who's with you, Carl?
Actually, I'm with Ryan Herman.
Okay. You and Ryan do a lot of work together these days. And
we've had a little two-piece duo going on for the last 5 or 6 years, and it goes over real well. And so we're playing, I think, just three jobs down here. And in the last month or so, our little two-piece duo, we added another guy on steel guitar and regular guitar.
Uh-huh.
Just a great musician.
Okay.
So now we've got a three-piece duo.
Okay.
So,
that's awesome.
But he couldn't make it on this trip, so he's back home with his family for Christmas.
Well, great. Well, Carl, you know, folks, we always usually start out the show with giving a little history, how you got started in that. And I think we've had you on a couple times. We do remember that you went to Polka Days, huh? That's where you got your first concertina, picked it up by Christy Hengel, was it? Or, bring us up to speed. How did that all go down?
Yeah, well, of course, as kids growing up, we always went up to the La Crosse, Wisconsin area and listened to Sil Liebel.
Oh, yeah.
And the Jolly Swiss Boys. I had some cousins in the band. In fact, I guess Sil was a distant cousin of mine, but I just loved the sound of the concertina and decided I wanted one.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, since I was about 7 or 8 years old, I was bugging Mom and Dad to get me one for birthday or Christmas or something, and so they finally did when I was 13, I think.
Okay.
Well, 12 or 13, and like you said, we were at the Gibbon Polka Days that year and picked one up from Christy Hengel and took it home, and by the time I got home, I was playing, I think, 3 or 4 songs already, and of course, it's a 7-hour drive, so I had plenty of time to practice.
what was it that you got, Carl? What was your first concertina? Do you remember?
The first one that I picked up from Christy was a 1926 Silberhorn.
Okay.
Reed.
Oh, really? Okay. Still have it
really
today?
Really nice old box. I wish that box would still be working, but it had the old wood action, and most of it fell apart. And,
okay.
But that was still, to this day, that was the loudest, most powerful box I think I ever played in my life.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, yeah. And so then from there, what did you move up to then?
Then I actually ordered a Hengel from Christy,
uh-huh.
Brand new one. But, you know, back then it took well, anywhere between 7 and 14 years to get one. And so in the meantime, I had to wait a couple years, and so we went up to Chicago and picked up an old Star from the factory over there.
Okay.
And I played that for a few years, and it didn't take just too long, and Christy had my concertina done, and so that was in, well, I guess it was 1981 by the time I got that thing.
Okay.
So then I've been playing that one ever since.
Oh, yes. Okay. And it plays very nice because I can speak from experience. I got to play with you on one number, the Overcoat Polka, and you ripped that one off start to finish in one take. That was a good time.
Well, you know why that went so smooth. It's because you were on drums.
Oh, I don't know about that, but it was a lot of fun. It was a great experience.
Yes, it was.
You bet.
Yep.
So when did you form the Carl and the Country Dutchman band then?
I think that was in 1974.
74, okay.
About 42 years ready.
Yeah, isn't that something? Do you guys get together once in a while yet? Do you get a job a year or so or anything?
Well, you know, I was just telling Ryan on the way down here to Arizona, either yesterday or the day before, that I was thinking about pulling the plug on the whole Country Dutchman outfit because it's just so hard to get the guys all together because I got, you know, people down in Milwaukee and Minneapolis and down in Missouri, Iowa, and Dubuque, Iowa, and just scattered all over the place. So I was thinking, this is getting to be just too much. People don't want to pay that much for a 6-7-piece band anymore. And,
sure.
But within the last couple months, people have been calling, and I've been booking more jobs, and so I guess we get several jobs coming up for this year again.
Well, awesome. That's wonderful. So for at least one more year, the Country Dutchman lives on. That's awesome. So where will people see you? Where are some of the, you know right offhand, where some of the jobs might be? Polka Fest?
Let's see. The next one with my band is down by Milwaukee, a little town of Exonia, Wisconsin.
Okay.
At the Fireman's Hall. That's always a really good job down there. We've been playing that one for, 35 years, I suppose, that plays always the third week in January.
Okay.
So we're down there. And then February, my band is back down here in Arizona for a few jobs in February.
Awesome.
And then I think there's another one in March or April, but I know we're playing a big festival down by Milwaukee again in May at Oconomowoc.
All right.
And then Hanover, Iowa in August, and I think Humboldt, Iowa, 1st of September.
Boy, you get around.
There's a few more, but I can't think where they are right offhand.
Sure. No, that's awesome. Well, going back just a little bit, so you're practicing away there. We remember you from back down on the farm. You were the pig farmer from Orion, Illinois, and boy, those were some great days, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm glad to grow up a farm boy.
I'll bet you were. And
yeah, we raised about between 800 and 1,000 hogs a year and about 800 cattle, too.
Oh, wow. So that was quite an operation. That was mom and dad that had that, or did you have uncles and aunts or
that
something?
Actually, that would be my mother's dad, so my grandpa and his brother, or his son Dave.
Oh, okay.
Brother.
They had the big operation.
Yeah, so we had two houses on the farm there. Grandpa and grandma lived in the one house, and then we lived in the other house.
Oh, okay.
100 yards away.
Oh, nice. Okay. So is that still going yet? Are they still... any of the families?
Well, the farm is still there. Of course, Grandpa's been dead for quite a few years, and there's no more animals. Now it's all cash crop.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So my mother rents out her share to her brother Dave, so it's still a family farm.
All right. And your mom, Norma, is she still going yet? She doing all well? Okay?
Yeah, in fact, we just had a big party. We played with my band down at Walcott, Iowa, the first weekend of this month, December. Had a really huge crowd for that down there. That's always a big one. And then the next day we go out to my mother's farm out there where I grew up and have a big Christmas party.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So she had about 50 people in the basement, I guess, and we sat up, played all day. And
she's still
playing? It's a really good party, and Ma's doing really good. I told her that I was going to be talking to you, and she said to make sure to tell you hi and everybody else hi up that dirt.
Well, we're going to have to jingle her telephone one of these days and get her on the program, too.
Oh, she'd like that.
I'll bet she would. She's still playing the bass horn once in a while?
Well, you know, the doctor told her she's not supposed to. She's had quite a few strokes, but, of course, you know, Ma's stubborn. She says, I got to play. And so the other day, last year at the party, she dug the tube out. Nothing really came out too well. So she says, I can't play this thing anymore. I don't know what happened. And so this year she tried it again, and it was a little bit better. But
Well, that's pretty good.
But she still plays keyboard quite a bit. She does a lot of nursing home jobs down there, goes out and plays keyboards and sings for the residents.
Uh-huh.
So she keeps busy with, I suppose, two or three of those a week.
And how old would she be about? Is she 60s or close to 70?
I think she's 76 now.
76 already. Wow, and still active like that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's setting the pace for you. You got a ways to go then, Carl.
Not at the rate I'm going.
Well, good. Well, we've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota, Carl. If we can ask you to stand by for just a moment, we're going to read the ad for the St. Joe Meat Market, and then we'll come back with you and close out the show.
Okay.
Very good. So, Cy here with a little Christmas poem for the St. Joe Meat Market. 'Twas the week after Christmas when St. Joe Meat Market sent out glad tidings for the new year with a boisterous shout. The stuffers were idle, the shop was bare, in hopes that New Year's Eve would soon be here. Sausages were nestled all snug in their buns, with visions of condiments lathered upon. With spices in the hopper and salt in the brine, all had settled in for hopes of a sign that 2017 will bring happiness and everything fine. Now fennel, now pepper, now fibrous and linker, now scraper, now soaker, don't be a stinker. To the top of the rack, to the end of the hall, smoke away, smoke away, smoke away all. From the St. Joe Meat Market to those we wish to delight, a prosperous 2017 to all, and to all a good night. And that's from the sausage crew at the St. Joe Meat Market. Rich, Roger, Jesse, Tracy Steele, Steve, Mark, Ryan, Daniel, Jared Madison, and myself, all the other employees, management, and staff, wishing you a happy new year. And y'all come in and see us real soon. And Carl, for being our guest on the program here, you know, you've been here a few times, so you know how it works. We're going to send you out that meat package put up at the meat market there, along with Chasm, mail that out to you, and hope that you and those around you can enjoy that in good health. How's that for you?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think you've sent that package to me two or three times already, and I always tell you that you don't have to do that, but I sure do appreciate it because that is some of the best meat that I ever get.
Well, awesome. That is great.
You guys do a great job. Tell them they all do a great job smoking up there, and everything is really, really good.
We will do that, Carl. That's
like to mention, too, Ryan just got out of the shower here, and he mentioned that we got a new album coming out again.
Oh, you do?
Should be out by summer, hopefully, and the other day we were recording in my place, finishing up a couple tunes, and we had Molly B on one song, so uh-huh. She's doing a few horn parts and singing on there.
Awesome.
And even Donnie Burkhart's that song also. He's singing on that.
Pulled Don out of retirement, huh?
Yeah, actually, Donnie's been playing with us quite a bit when we play in the area over there. He plays with us at Bloomer and Galesville and
Opio. That's great.
He's, I think he just turned 85 last week, but he's really doing good.
Well, that is awesome. I'm glad to hear. And Don's been on the program. Ryan's been on the program already. So it's good to hear from all of those guys that they're all doing well. That's great.
Well, I'd like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas from Carl and the Country Dutchman, and hope everybody has a good day.
You bet. You bet. Wanted to talk just a little bit about the recordings, Carl. Do you have any idea how many times you've been in the studio recording?
Oh, boy.
It's been a lot, huh?
I don't know.
I know just with Carl and the Country Dutchman, you have just a number of recordings. But then you've been on with, Jim Busta, Wendinger's?
Yeah, Jim Busta, of course, then a few separate recordings for Molly B.
Yeah.
And quite a bit with the Wendinger's, Chris Kelchin.
Yep. Ron Sherrick, Polka
Ron. John Dietz, Ronnie Sherrick, quite a bit with him.
Yep.
I don't know. I know there's at least 30 different bands I've recorded with.
Wow, that's a bunch. That's pretty awesome. Now, for the folks still wanting to get music, I know some of your stuff is out of print right now and doesn't look like we're going to get her back up and going. But
I really should have a lot of that put back into CDs and reproduction, some of that stuff, but I'm just so lazy, I never get it done.
Well, you're too busy. I mean, you are traveling the country all over the place. But you still run the recording studio as well?
I haven't for a little over a year. Last one I did was actually with Jerry Minar. He came over and recorded over by my place there. In fact, I just talked to Jerry Friday on the way down here.
Okay.
So I recorded about, 50-some tunes for him.
Uh-huh.
Kind of a Jerry Minar and Friends type album.
Very good.
So I'm not sure if he's if he's got any of that stuff out yet or not. I didn't even ask him the other day, but I'll be going out to his place next Friday, I think, to do a little work.
And okay.
Then I got to check into that, see how that project is coming along.
Very, very good.
That was the last time I did anything with my recording, because I moved out of Trempealeau and moved over by Galesville, and I just haven't set anything up over there yet.
I'd like to
one of these days.
All right. Well, currently, I know I have two of your recordings on hand yet, folks wanting to get music. We've got the latest one, the 40th anniversary, and you must be really proud of that one, because that one really came off well.
Yeah, I do like that one. It was a lot of fun to make, too. There's a lot of friends of mine on there. I think we had 17 or 18 different people.
Uh-huh.
Just a bunch of musicians I worked with over the last 40 years. And
sure.
All really, really good guys. I think I mentioned this to you once before, but if you listen to that CD and you hear some nice piano solos going on, that is Mr. Bruce Bradley.
But that's right.
For some reason, his name didn't get put on the CD, and I felt so bad about that.
Oh, yes. And Bruce left us in the past year, too, yeah.
Yeah.
So Bruce,
I did apologize to him just before he died. I said, "Bruce," I said, "I'm sorry, but your name didn't get on there." He just says, "Oh, don't care. Nobody knows anyway." So I said, "Oh yeah, I know."
Well, if something strikes your ear or your nose is itching a little bit, you know that Bruce was listening in too this morning.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, very good. Well, I would imagine you guys are about ready to get going on what you're all going to do for the day. So we're not going to hold you any longer, Carl. So you said there's a recording coming out with Ryan. Let me see. Did we cover everything else? I was just trying to think here. I think we've got pretty much of it, huh?
We could probably go on for an hour and not cover everything, but
you don't
have that much time. So.
That would certainly be fun. People are certainly entertained when we get together here, so we know that's true.
Oh, by the way, I was going to tell you one thing, too. You know when you did that interview with Molly B, what was that, about a month and a half ago or whatever that was?
Yeah.
I was sitting right next to her in the van, and I kept telling her to tell you hi for me, but she kept forgetting, and so the other day when she was at my place, she said to tell you hi, but I said, nope, I'm not going to tell Cy hi for you. So. But I will anyway. Molly says hi.
Molly says hi. Oh, that's wonderful. We've had her on the show a couple times, and she's got a brand new Molly B Live out, and that's an exciting album, too, so she's done some real good work there.
Yeah, that came out good. I heard that before it came out in Reading in her van there.
Sure.
It's really good.
You bet. And that's what I was going to just mention. It's got to be fun working these days in the music, because there are still some very, very good people out there, and you get to work with a bunch of them, Molly being one. And mention some of the other ones that might be out there that you've been working with, besides Ryan, some of the other good musicians still cooking.
Oh, boy. Well, of course, yeah, a lot with Ryan and Jimmy Boost's band.
Uh-huh.
And then, like you said, Molly puts together a band every once in a while. That's a kind of a different bunch of guys, and I'm usually involved in that. And,
uh-huh.
And once in a while with Ray Sands and the Polka Dot.
Oh, okay.
And Wenningers, we had a couple jobs with them this last year. And I just talked to Johnny Wenninger on, I think it was Thursday, and he told me to tell you hi, too.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Boy. It's always something pops up. I actually thought I was going to have 2 weeks off in December, and then I had a bunch of phone calls, and I didn't have any weeks off.
Okay.
Playing with all kinds of different people.
And I know what the other thing I was going to mention, too. That latest recording, that 40th anniversary, there's some unique tunes on there. That's Shame in the Family. You always come up with something that is really classic, Carl. You got your good friend Craig Ebel on that one, huh?
Yeah.
And
yeah, that was always one of my favorite songs. I picked that up from four guys out of Philadelphia, four black guys, really great musicians, and they used to play in Winona at the Hot Fish Shop.
Okay.
And I went to see them every time they were in town, and they'd play that song every night.
Uh-huh.
And that was back in about 1985, and I always wanted to record that.
I see.
And finally I said, well, if I don't do it now, I probably never will.
Oh, okay.
So that's really how that song came about. It's actually an old Jamaican song.
Okay.
And I was down in Jamaica one day and riding on a bus tour, and the bus driver started to sing that song, and I started singing it with him, and he turned around, and he looked at me, and he says, how do you know that?
Oh, yes. And then the other one on there that is so clever is Ode to Pete and Paul.
Oh, yeah.
and that must be like a tribute song to Peter and Paul, because you've been good friends with them for just a number of years, huh?
Oh, yeah. Those guys have always been some of my best friends.
You bet.
Yep.
You bet.
So I took an old Willie Nelson song and rewrote all the words and basically made it a story about Pete and Paul. Everything kind of fit right together there.
That's awesome. And the other thing I know, things are popping through my mind so quickly here, but another recording that you did when we were talking about recordings that really went over well up here in this area was I Must Be Dreaming. You and Brian got together and did one.
Yeah.
And that was...
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. In fact, Brian and I still talk about that album. He said, too, you know, that's one of the neatest concertina albums, he says, I've ever heard to this day.
Yep, yep.
And then he keeps saying that we should get together and do another one, something like that, but we just haven't gotten it done yet.
Oh, yes, you bet. Yep, everybody is on that fast pace of life, and somehow life is passing us by. We got to just step off for a moment and do one of those again, you bet. But,
yep.
And Brian was a shirt-tail cousin to you, and Gary Brigham, shirt-tail cousin. Do you guys ever wind up on the same stage once in a while, ever?
Oh, we have.
Yep. Oh, okay.
Haven't for a little while, but yep, it has been done a few times.
And everybody is so skilled that you can either play lead and the other one will do the fills or back and forth, or how do you usually do it?
Yeah, we just kind of look at each other and say, you got lead. They will either say yes or no, and then I'll just say, well, then you got second. Yep, and then you look at the other guy, you got filling? Okay, then I got lead. So that's just the way it goes.
That's the way you do it. And those fingers just automatically travel across the keys.
Yeah.
you've been on...
Sometimes you even get lucky.
Oh, yes. Have you ever been spotted playing to the Hogs anymore like you did years ago?
No, I haven't. Not since they got rid of the Hogs.
They got rid of the Hogs, and that was
no
the end.
No more Hogs to play for.
Oh, my gosh. That must have been an entertaining time. The Hogs, they didn't mind it, huh?
I think they enjoyed it.
They enjoyed it.
Yep.
Well,
they were all fenced in there, so basically you could say that was a very good captive audience.
For sure. Well, with that, Carl, we're going to let you run. Thank you so much for joining us. I was kind of on the spot because everybody I called today, they were busy with family and big dinners and stuff. And you said, well, we're going to only have dinner at supper time tonight, so we can make this work. So we do appreciate it, Carl.
Yeah, well, speaking of Christmas and all that, my ex-wife called this morning and said to tell everybody Merry Christmas, too.
Oh.
Merry Christmas from Linda.
Oh, that is wonderful. That's great. Well, with that, we're going to let you run, Carl. I told you the last time, and we'll tell you again. Good Lord willing, we're both here, you and I. We'll do this thing again down the road sometime.
Anytime you want.
All right.
Call me up.
Sounds good. With that, have a great Christmas, Carl, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Si.
All righty, and there he goes, Carl Hartwig of the Country Dutchman, and spending Christmas Day down in Arizona. And our 179th guest here on the Musicians Come and Play program. And that takes us to 13 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. 30 degrees once again. We did hit 31 just for a moment there. But 30 degrees right now, our temperature here in Albany. Don't go away. We'll be back with music by Carl and his Country Dutchman coming up here on Chasm.